Welcome to the Mindful Surfer Podcast. Myself, Will Foster, and my co-host, Liam, the short-wearing... Shorts. Summer. Shorts wearing Morgan.
Feels like summertime, doesn't it?
It's really nice.
Still can't quite see the big yellow fireball in the sky.
I'm in my piss robe because I quite like that crispy piss feeling. Just in case those clouds become more cloudy and the wind gets more windy.
Listen.
But
as a hardy northerner,
doesn't stink too much of piss.
So hardy northerner, as soon as there's a little whisper of sunshine, you've got to get your shorts on. All the guns out.
Yeah.
Sun's out, guns out.
Yeah. And you know, on the subject of piss robes, which are dry robes, by the way, you know, I'd mentioned to Tiago, also I'd mentioned on the show that I'd given that other one to Tiago. It was so funny when I saw him because he'd listened to the show and he said, he's like, instantly I had a message from him after the show had been released. He's like, dude, cheers for giving me your dry robe that you didn't want anymore because it was too smelly. Didn't work. Wasn't remotely waterproof.
You wouldn't advertise that on Gumtree, would you?
You really wouldn't. No.
Piss stained, leaky dry robe for sale. Probably still got for about 75 quid.
It would be a very, very funny thing to do on Facebook Marketplace to advertise either a board or, but just do it for banter concern and just put it out there and just see what the responses are like.
Yeah.
So this board is, it's ding to fuck. It's dog shit. It doesn't go. Keep going.
It's had one not very careful owner.
Yeah. Just see what the response would be. It'd be quite funny.
Yeah.
Mate, what's the news?
The news is I wouldn't say we are surfed out, but we've had a good run since the last recording of the show when it was getting better and we'd had more and more surfs. But I think probably since last show was out, we've had quite a lot of back-to-back surfs. I had 1 week, because I mark it on the calendar now, just so I can sort of give myself a bit of gratitude as well for when did I last surf. Especially given at the beginning we were saying, I haven't surfed and then I look and go, I'm surfing once a week, that's pretty good. But the last couple of weeks, it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Obviously, I have a few responsibilities and the conditions change on a Saturday, and I'm just surfing locally at the moment, mm-hmm. So I'm at the mercy of the conditions. And then you go again. Monday, Tuesday, boom. So, you know, 6 out of 10 days, let's say.
Gold.
You've got a 60% of your time spent surfing. I'd take that. That's the golden ratio.
You still hold the record, I think, for most surfs in 1 month in the town.
Is it in the Sidmouth Museum?
It's probably in the museum. You got a plaque. Surfed 26 times in... Because when you go on holiday mode, you go in hard. I like that. You tend to be like, that's it. I'm on holiday. I'm going to surf.
Yeah.
And you do. You go in. And you did last summer when we had that run,
yeah.
in the heat wave too,
yeah.
Which was all very rad.
I mean, I'd
it
be all
when,
in.
Was it July or something? And you did sort of 25 days in a row?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Two or three times a day.
You were going in multiple, yeah.
It was too good to not do it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Please, surf gods, send that back to our little beach this year. Because that would be awesome, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you're, I think, yeah, holiday mode, if you switch off and you're down the beach, you just got to get in.
Get in, man.
As you age, I know we'll talk about this maybe later, something to enable that. Obviously, mm-hmm. we talk a lot about staying fit and active, but nutrition, supplements, all that sort of stuff to keep you going for longer is the bit then, isn't it? Because I definitely get more tired than I used to. Although, weirdly, I hit the wall earlier than I used to do. But once I'm through it, I feel I can go for longer.
It's very interesting. We've had a lot of this.
Yeah.
There's loads of little bits to share about our recent surfs because we've learned, both of us, but learned an absolute bunch, which we're going to share. Straight out the gate, same for me.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's mixed in with these kind of new COVID-y bugs that we're all dealing with and whatever. There's that to consider. There's always something in the environment that's trying to get us, essentially. That's been true for like since the dawn of the earth.
Yeah.
Let alone just recent times. But I've certainly noticed with these just little bugs around, little viruses and bits and pieces, that energy in the surf was definitely a challenge near the beginning of our swell run 2 weeks ago at times. And it was strange because I'd start off sort of okay. Then I'd, like you, Liam, I'd hit this little wall and then I'd be surfing pretty poorly for a while and just sort of struggling and haven't got that energy. I'd call my energy like a 3 out of 10 rather than my kind of one that I like to aim at, like 7, 8, 9 or whatever out of 10, and just kind of, oh, okay, maybe do I go in? But stuck at it, and a combination of what I think is finally tapping into some fat stores, because according to the literature, it takes 40 to 45 minutes minimum of zone 2 exercise to start burning fat. Now, the higher your carb storage from the night before and the higher your body fat levels, well, the slower that's going to be. If you finally start burning fat, you're now going to access that last piece of energy. Now, normally when we exercise, you access, obviously, mainly carbohydrate from your muscles and liver, and oxygen. That's how you exercise. That's it. But there's that last ingredient, which is fat. Now, hopefully you don't eat into any protein, but you inevitably are going to eventually. But you got that last source, and that source of energy is the most sustainable. It never dips. It never surges. It keeps you right in the middle. It keeps you in the zone when you start burning fat. And I think getting to that point of, we call it ketosis maybe, but it's just fat burning. You feel it. It's what gets called the second wind.
Yeah.
It's a term when runners get to that 50th minute or cyclists get to an hour. It's around the hour mark-ish. It's why 30 to 60 minutes of exercise is sometimes the struggle, because you sort of, you're finding your way. But the cleaner your diet has been from the day before, the cleaner your morning has been, the better hydrated you are and so on, the more you can get through that bit. But the bit that allowed me to start getting back into that high energy again was breath work, because I have massively upped that in the last couple of weeks. It's been huge. I've never had to call on it more, but weirdly, in calling upon it more in the sea, have then ended up surfing the best I've ever surfed. So it's a very interesting little energy hack that. It's the out the back. It's the on breathing. And then when I'm paddling back out, trying to make that sound on the way back out, which I know sounds A, fucking weird and ludicrous. Who's this weird guy making? Because I've had a few surfers recently turn their heads, go, Is someone humming?
He's got his own soundtrack, this guy. It's better than fuck.
Thank you very much, Liam. Is it better than fuck? And the thing is that I've done that thinking, oh, see what happens. Within 5 minutes, it's a full on hack. Do it in the sea. It works.
Shall I tell you where the other good place to do it is?
Nitric oxide is why.
Again, the family think I've lost the plot sometimes doing it. They think I just got bad singing anyway, so they probably think I'm humming. I could be singing any tune. It sounds the same. So if you do it in a bathtub, you know, and you do your arms there, because of all that resonance and acoustics, feels good. And you're in water as well.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's ace. But for yourself, you've had the same, haven't you? You've had little energy dips.
I was going to ask the question, because I don't know the answer to it, but is hitting the wall earlier that you need to access those stores? So actually you are going into that ketosis earlier. So
correct.
My point was, it used to take me much longer before I hit what is called the wall, let's call it that.
Yep, yep.
But now I feel like I'm hitting that really soon in a surf, and I'm like, that's the point where you could go in and say, oh, I've just had enough. Bang. But actually, as soon as you're through it, I'm like, well, hello, I'm in here, I'll stay in here for as long as I want.
The liver can take on approximately only 30 grams of fructose in carbohydrate storage. It can take on a bit more glucose than that, but overall, that's roughly the amount that most livers can take on. The muscles, depending on your muscle size, like how much muscle mass you have, can take on a further between 100 and 200 grams. Not that much. You actually start really working hard. Think about how many calories that is. You sort of work hard through it. Now, if you've eaten a moderate to low carbohydrate diet the day before, you're going to hit that wall pretty soon. So what's happening? So when you're a surfer trying to biohack yourself, like we are, where you want your inflammation levels down, you want to sleep well, you want good testosterone, and so on and so forth, you want to get your protein fat pretty high. So you don't want to then ramp up your carbs too high, because then you're just going to get fat. So what you're trying to do ideally, hopefully, is eat a low to moderate carbohydrate intake as a surfer, and then a reasonably high fat to high protein kind of content to get all those nutrients in. Now, the challenge with that is glycolytic exercise. It is, for sure. You're gonna get to that, God, my glycogen's already gone. Your body's looking around. But then just give it time, give it breath work, give it time. Bang, you're gonna hit this new level. Now, again, anecdotal evidence as well as literature, the keto performers outperform the glucose. When you compare glucose to ketosis, you could compare fat burning to glucose. Now, I know this, you can't make it as black and white as that, because you inevitably use both systems at once often. But just for the sake of what's been talked about in the literature, when you look at performance over, let's say, 2-3 hours, the fat burners have a higher output in the end. It's a clean fuel. You don't feel dips and so on. The temptation surfers have often is to have like a load of coconut water or a load of bananas or loads of toast and rice or carbs, basically, before surfing.
Cheesy chips if you're in.
And thank you very much, cheesy chips.
Now, if you're still do them?
Exactly. If you're going to do that, which is great, fine. Yeah. Some people do great off carbs. Fantastic. Yeah. Don't have any fat or protein with it. You want to just go, you want to get that in and get it across. Yeah. You don't want that being slowed down by, you, it's called transit time. Mm. When you eat that banana, do not have it with nuts or with some steak or, you know, just have a banana, have a spoonful of honey, go surfing, great. And a lot of people prefer to surf. We're talking about surfing. This is what this podcast is, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Sometimes.
In between Robert Charlie's pubes and discussing Liam being naked or not. No, we do talk about surfing, but it's this thing where you may then also go through a phase in your life as a surfer where that is a really good one. Now my brother, I think it was my brother, or it might have been a friend who told me about their pre-surf is to do a spoon, a really large spoon of honey with sea salt in it.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
I love that.
The whole thing, you know, when you look back, sports science has been really delved into for many years now, since the 60s and 70s. And one of the most heavily researched, and I remember this from university because I did sports science, one of the most heavily researched topics in the history of sports science is, do we need pre, during, and post-carbohydrate to perform better on one day than the other? And again, like any research, the jury's out. It's a lot of nuance in it. And very interesting.
Well, for all of this stuff, and even if you watch like Attia, Huberman, and the pop kind of docs out there advising this stuff, is you've got to find what works for you. And the more you do what works for you, whatever that looks like. I mean, even if facetiously that is a packet of Doritos Chili Heatwave, which was one of my previous favorite pre-surf fuels, is if it works for you and you feel good and you get the most out of whatever you're doing as a consequence of that fuel, then you've just got to go for it. So I think there's a temptation to lean towards when you're trying to get better at this stuff, to lean towards some kind of one size fits all solution for whatever it is you're trying to get out of the surf or your exercise or whatever you're trying to access by having whatever it is you're putting in your body as fuel. But unless you try to see what works for you, because we're all kind of differently made up and respond differently to different things, you'll never know. Mm-hmm. And so there are some broad ideas that carry through that says, you know, you'll probably perform better on these things, natural whole foods and substances. But then there are little nuances, as you say, within that, that work better for some people. And then you throw in the placebo effect, right? So if you think, like I say, if you think Dorito Chili Heat Waves are the best pre-surf fuel, almost like, they might not be from a nutritional standpoint, but if you feel good, you're already halfway there to having a good surf.
You unbelievably are.
Yeah.
It's so in the mind.
Yeah.
We're all influenced by that.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating, you know, with the nuances on this, because I think it's a very interesting topic what we're discussing. Because surfers, listen, let's remember the why. You know, what are we? When we're discussing this, why? And it's so that we can get more from our surfing.
Yeah,
we all of us. The reason why we're listening to this now and we're talking about this now is that we're after that buzz, that flow experience. So we'll do anything, I hope, to access even more of that, even if it's just a little 1% gain here, little 2% there. And one of the nuances I want to discuss here is what kind of surfer are you in relation back to how do you fuel your surfs? Because there's a couple of nuances that stand out. One is, do you mostly surf waves where it requires loads of paddle and duck diving, or do you not? Okay, first consideration. Because what really drains glycogen stores is not surfing itself, but it's the paddling. Mm. So surfing itself is, well, how long do you stand up on a wave for? Unless you surf Jeffrey's Bay every day and you get these 2-minute long rides. Fair enough, it's a bit different. Let's be honest, most surfers are getting short rides, right? So it's never the legs. You, I mean, if you do get a leg burn, fuck, I'm jealous. Where are you surfing?
Well, they're the times you know you've had a really good surf, is when your legs burn as much as your traps.
Exactly. And that's often things like you know, wave parks.
Yeah.
You know, when we go to Bristol Wave, God, that's a full body workout, that is. Because you're getting constant pumping and then turns and then paddle and then back around. So the first thing is, you know, what kind of waves are you surfing? Are you having to do loads of duck diving and paddling? Second thing is, how are you trying to surf? Because if you're a frother, constantly on the hunt, moving there, moving here. Go inside to pick up scraps, not always waiting for set waves, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, your atypical kind of 16-year-old who's just got like too much energy, just ridiculous. If you're that kind of surfer, again, you're going to need much better fuel too. Yeah. So depends on how you want to surf. We all know those surfers on the flip side of that frother who go out and they sit and they don't move. And they'll wait 10 minutes sometimes for a wave. They're very patient and they'll get the bomb. They'll get the set wave. And then they'll rinse and repeat. We got a guy at a spot nearby who does that. He would need half the carbohydrate of even me, the way I'm a full frother. Yeah. I'm just going to be constantly on the run, on the go all the time. So you've got to consider, there's loads of little considerations. But Liam, exactly like you said, which I think was absolutely perfect, there is no one size fits all. I think it's what we're always looking for, is this kind of, you know, here's the surfing nutritional manual 101. Like, I hope the first chapter in it is find what works for you.
Yeah. And it's like that for everything, isn't it? This is a discussion about, oh, try this and have a go and see what... It's all about discovery. Mm-hmm. And everybody's on their own path. Oh, it sounds cliche now, doesn't it? It sounds like I'm auditioning for the X Factor or something. But everybody's on this path of discovery to see what works best for them. Is it what board works best for you? What food works best for you? What post-surf stoke do you best get when you come out having tried all of those things? What's your sleep pattern like? How does that work best for you? Mm-hmm. Everybody's different. That's what makes it fascinating. That's why surfing is also this like microcosm of life itself, because you've got, you know, stand-up paddle boarders.
it was that post that you sent to me on WhatsApp, which was the...
From the Anchorman, Steve Carell.
Steve Carell going, now! Now! This is how you react when a stand-up paddler comes out.
We do give those people a lot of grief.
It's good. It's good, healthy stuff, man. If you're a stand-up paddler listening to this, please take our banter around SUP.
Probably sitting down, having a wee in the day on the toilet.
Please take it with a big pinch of salt, because I'd love you to then throw it straight back in my face as a shortboarder. Well, you're just a shortboarder cunt, you know, who's always got a chip on his shoulder. And I'd be like, well, yeah, it's right. it's true.
Anyway, it's only with jealous.
If I could nod and agree, I think I'd...
It's the set wave pickup. But anyway, you get my point. Whatever works for you is the key. And, you know, try different things. And sometimes, you know, and the variety then. Because, you know, you can try things just because something works for a little, like when you're working out. You get into this homeostasis where you go, am I just going to do this all the time, or should I add some variety back in? And even people who've been very like puritanical about things like the carnivore diet, like Sean Baker, is now putting fruit into his, you know, so even the most kind of ardent, you must do this, you must be a shortboarder, you must be, it's kind of never say never, and be open to trying things to see what effect it has on you, positively or negatively. And then you can make what is an informed decision about, is that, did that work for me or not? Let's try something else. Let's tweak it. So, you know, no one's there to tell you exactly what to do.
100%. And Liam, so much of this relates to what we can and can't control.
Yeah.
Because in the last 2 weeks, I've had such a mental challenge of absolutely loving this Firewire Seaside. Yeah. Thank you, Rob Machado.
I bet Biolos is pissed off now, though.
I was on the Christmas card list.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. That lost puddle jumper that was heading our way for free, ain't anymore.
Well,
if you're listening,
if you order a custom, it would take 18 years to get to you anyway.
It would. Firstly, it'd take 18 fucking years. Secondly, by the way, Firewire, who's run by, remember his name? What's his name? Come on.
Mr. Wire? What's his name? Who does run Firewire?
There was a chap, he's the entrepreneur. Anyway, we can't...
You're not getting one now. We'll edit his name in.
He's listening and going, oh, fuck you. You can't remember my name. Anyway, Thank you.
I'm going to search it up. It's probably some big investment fund. It's like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Coca-Cola.
Literally Coke. I was just going to say Coca-Cola.
McDonald's.
McDonald's, Coke.
McDonald's have bought a 90% stake through...
Come on, Liam's going to get it up. So anyway, Firewire, if you're listening, we are available. I don't mind us having discussions with you. So I know you've probably been chomping to sign us up. But anyway, in the last 2 weeks, we've had Relentless Swell. I've been in tons. And that board has given me so much joy that it's also fucked with my head. What's his name?
Founded in 2006 by Nev Hyman. Hey, yeah. Man. Firewire Surfboards were the first global surfboard manufacturer to introduce 100% EPS epoxy construction. There we go.
Yeah.
Nev Hyman. Does he still own it? Carry on.
Once I gotten used to the Helium 2 construction, so just do a little Google on that if you're not aware of Helium 2 construction. It's this new, very zippy, springy, poppy, zippy, add whichever word you want into that mix, construction that probably carries a litre or two more than it says on the tin, so to speak, because it's so floaty and has this lovely flex pattern. Now, the Seaside with the quad, Machado quads in, on a nice open face section is without absolute doubt the most joy I've ever had on a surfboard. So I've had these great surfs. Then I've looked back and I'm always doing this. I'm always assessing, you know, what am I eating? What am I doing? How have I created that surf basically? And I've gone, right, well, I've eaten this much rice and I've stuck to that much macro on my fat intake. And then I've avoided these three foods that I sometimes like to eat that maybe fuck with my surfing. I've also done a bit of hot cold therapy there and I've da 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 da. And then what I've done is I've repeated it. Gone out and surfed like a twat. That's fucked with my head. Like never before have I had such yin and yang, high and low surfs. It's been, and I never blame the waves. I'm very, very adamant about this. I can always get a bit of joy out of something. So I never ever blame the waves, but I certainly found myself doing that. And in hindsight, look back and went, no, that's not what I want to be about. Because it's not even the truth. It's not because I'm trying to impress someone. Oh, it's about me. No, I don't mean that. This is all just about you versus you, isn't it? This is about how can I improve? And where I want to really improve is to be able to let go of the control. Because when you feel that feeling like you know, you had this amazing surf yesterday, we'll talk about it in a bit. When you have these incredible surfs, you think, right, okay, so it was this board, it was this kind of thing, it was this diet, I did all the, okay, just do it again, and it goes. So the lesson is let go of joy and a certain kind because it's already in the past. And it's hard, man.
Yeah.
Like I had three back-to-back surfs in a spot nearby where we live that I did not look like him. I did not have his divine, well-groomed pubic hair. I'll tell you that for certain. But I felt like Machado. I was cleanly running lines and it was the way the cutbacks were. It was like I was just timing it and I was hitting parts of the lip that I've been trying to hit for like 15 years. And I was sort of doing it, even though...
Did you have a red wetsuit on?
I so should have.
I wish.
I so should have. But it was just... And then I went to the next surf and I sort of... It all came crashing down and it's like that thing where... And then it was another one like that. And then even yesterday was... Yesterday's surf that I had was coming back again a bit. It was good. But my mind was fucking with me because I was like, no, I know I can surf like that now. So why am I not surfing like that? And it would be like a batsman having had a run of like 100, 100, 75, 100, and then suddenly they get a duck. And then suddenly they only get a 10.
Yeah.
In sport, it's a real key feature. But I think when you've tasted even more success than normal, it actually comes with just as many challenges.
I agree. And it's also important to... You know, I do a bit of coaching and then also, take my kid to football and he's interested in that sport and my youngest. And it's good to look at the professionals sometimes in so far as making it kinder on yourself to say that even the people that get paid to do the thing that you love doing, whatever that might be sporting wise, still make horrendous mistakes. particularly you can see it a lot with footballers if you go and watch a match. You can see with surfers if you watch them enough and you see them in different conditions. It's hard to kind of see that if they're surfing like 4 or 5 foot trestles, isn't it? And it's just or Rincon and it's like this perfect peeling wave. But if you see people week in, week out who get paid to do a particular sport also making mistakes and playing fantastically 1 week and then the second week play like they don't know how to kick a football or ride a board, then it allows you to forgive yourself a bit more. And it reminds you of the fact that just because something has been either good or bad before doesn't mean it's going to be good or bad this next time. It's 100%. All about what you're going to do for that moment and to live in that moment. And once it's gone, the Hawaiian thing that you reference in your book, well, they all ho'oponopono, once it's gone, cut the cord on it and woof,
it is so truly.
It's done. It belongs to the past. In fact, the old Stoics go a little bit further. They said that all of that belongs to... People think that death is this thing that's coming to them, right? But actually, it's already... Death's taken all of those things. Okay. Not in a morbid way, but that belongs to the history of what you are and what you've done. It's nothing to do with the next time. So you learn from that, of course. It'd be churlish not to. But it doesn't define what's going to happen next.
It's fucking so good, dude. It is so intertwined with ego.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well. When I was surfing yesterday in front of my pal, who arguably is a professional level surfer, Rory Morgan, check out his Instagram. He's such a great guy, Rory. Good friend. We've been surfing loads together lately. He's really taken my surfing further this week. This last couple of weeks, I've been surfing them tons. And you surf with someone enough like that, you feed off that energy and what they're trying to do and how in the part of the pocket they're trying to surf. Because he is not trying to surf the pocket. No, he actually is. Only ever in the pocket.
Yeah.
And whereas I can race the shoulder a bit and get a bit too further out on the corner. So, but the flip side of that is great. Okay, it's pushing you. It's taking you further. You're trying to do these things. But the flip side is when it's not coming off, comparison. Ego.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so simple. Look, just stand up. Just look down the light. Just point the board. Go. No. You got your body, your mind. You have your limitations. You have your experiences. It's very important not to compare. But ego in surfing is so big because...
It is massive.
It's big because I think surfing is so free, so wild, so fucking cool. Because of all those combos, when someone does it really well, it's like, wow. I think it appeals to the sort of, the rock star in us. You know, that maybe we kind of always wanted to be maybe a bit of a rock star or a, superstar. Yeah. Superstar sports person or whatever. Yeah. It's got that appeal. It's got that kind of, it's got such sex appeal.
It has.
Do you know what I mean? Like it looks absolutely insane when it goes well.
Yeah.
It's a very cool thing.
Well, I get big on this. It's like, it is expression, like dancing, isn't it? We joked about that before. It's artistic expression. How everybody surfs really, if they allow it to be, is different to everyone. So it should be. You can learn techniques, but you want to sort of do your own thing on the wave, right? Which is why everybody kind of looks different. And some of the most kind of obscure surfers, like Mark Richards and all that sort of thing back in the day, you don't surf like anybody else. They sort of got their own style and it sort of lives on in the memory of that. And then they're enjoying themselves more. Because like that Rick Rubin thing that I shared, if you're doing it for you, and that's when you've got to battle the ego. But if you do the thing that you're doing for yourself and not for the audience, then it'll always be good because you'll be happy. It's your thing. And the same is with surfing. But so many times we get caught out into this egoic thing of saying, I want to surf like this because I am a X level surfer and therefore I want to surf like I should be. And as soon as you bring all that into it, you're screwed anyway. The other thing, which I find has helped me massively, again, against ego and progression, but equally being able to forgive yourself when you don't, is seeing each surf in isolation. And embracing, it's kind of quite well known, we talked about this loads, embracing the idea that you're just going to fall off and kook it. So as soon as you're not worried about what you look like doing that thing, then you're almost better anyway, because that bit of the mind has taken out of the equation. So just assume that to try something, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to miss it. You're going to fall off. You're going to miss the shot. As soon as I start thinking like that, I always have a better surf. Yeah. When I'm in a lineup where I'm worried about what other people are judging, can I surf? Are they going to let me have? I go to Cooksville straight away, and I think that's it, isn't it? It's allowing yourself to go. let me just make my own thing. This is my own thing. I don't really care what's going on around me.
You've got to create a bubble somehow.
Yeah.
And just be in it.
Easier said than done, though.
And it really is easier said than done. And what happens in all of our experiences is we have a memory that you can't just erase. And it is part of us. It's not true. You know, the past is gone, for sure. That's the that's the only truth. But those memories live on. And where I'm so impressed with people, generally, is their ability to go again. Despite what's happened to us in the past, is treat the present like a whole new moment, which it is, and give our all anyway.
Yeah.
Again. And that's the way to progress. The only way to progress is to kind of, well, is to let go of some of the more difficult memories, but also to let go of some of the more amazing ones too. Because, gee, that can get in your head as much as the more difficult ones. Like, you know, you can lose humility so quick.
Yeah.
You've got to stick to good technique, and but ultimately still have one mantra, if we will, for what we do when we go in to serve, and it is, I am going to give, no matter what, my all. I'm going to try my best. And that's all you can ever hope for. All you can ever hope for. I think where we then start sort of blaming conditions or blaming boards, that is not giving our all. That's where, you know, in the week I certainly did that, where I'd come off some great surfs on what were, yeah, high performance waves, and come on to my home break and definitely inside my head doing that whole, you know, well, I've surfed these waves this week and now I'm finding this hard, because normally, you know, it's like, it's bullshit, because you're actually, all you're doing is living in the past. It's like the surfer who, you know, we've all seen and all met and all gotten tired of listening to, who's you know, been in Costa Rica. Oh, I've been in Costa Rica for 4 weeks and they can't surf the local because it's not good enough.
Yeah.
No. You've got to be adaptable. You've got to be able to be humble, and you've got to be able to give your all always.
Yeah.
It's a real constant journey, that.
It's like being a boxer who wins every fight that they don't get punched in the face.
That's a good
example. I'm really good at boxing.
That's a really good example.
I'm the only
that.
One doing the punching. Okay. Yeah, what happens if somebody...
And the opponents you're fighting are like children.
Yeah. It's like, and suddenly they're like, ah, I don't like getting hit. It's like, well, okay, that's how it works. So surfing's the same. You can't just surf these perfect conditions. Mm. Sometimes to work out where you're at and what you're doing, and to give yourself a good reality check, is to go and surf waves where essentially you're getting punched in the face.
And we had that.
Yeah, we had it. Was,
we've got to mention that. That's,
we nearly became the shit wave police.
We both mentioned it. So it was cold, drizzling, half second rides of unsurfable surf for me, in my view, like generally.
Yeah.
And it was the surf where actually I did give my all. Because the previous one to that I'd had in our local a few days before, I'd found myself going, oh God, Sidmouth. And I'd done that thing in my head where I was being that dick, kind of like, oh, you know, it's not like this now. Well, yeah, of course it's not. So why are you even doing that to yourself? Then I learned from that. And then in that next surf in the local, it was even worse, like way worse. But my attitude was way better. I was kept trying, no, try again. Come on, try again. Stay positive, stay positive, stay positive. And actually, I felt like I came away from it going, no, okay, good. Because you have to always try and give your all to get something out of something. But we did both laugh. If you'd had a video of a couple of my waves, you'd have wondered if I'd ever surfed.
And he's presenting a bloody podcast about surfing, this
seriously.
Fella. He can't surf. It was the weirdest wave.
All be humbled, like badly humbled. We can all be humbled.
Yeah, well, that's the point. Cristiano Ronaldo in his day could have a shit, could scuff the ball and make a howler. And if you just saw that in isolation, people are like, ah, look at the guy playing, mate. Yeah, yeah. Same old thing. Some fat bloke in the crowd. Oh, you're shit. You can't play. Here's a guy that gets paid hundreds of millions of pounds a year to kick a bag of air and pretty good at it. So, but even those people have a crap day.
It's true. Can I finish this piece on this and just talk about that board again? Because what it's done, and I want all of you to really just see if you can look at your quiver and kind of, because we need to discuss your latest one on this as well, because you've had a switch up. The board, or next board, so to speak, that you go out on and find hard to surf will also be the same board, probably. I can't say definitely. That's that sometimes it is just the wrong board. It will probably be the board you end up having your best ever wave on. There's such a seed of wisdom in the boards that we actually find tricky. Now, this is when this goes into major contradiction mode, because what we said on the very last show was, make sure you have a confidence board.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, that's life.
But here's the thing. Yeah. Have both.
Yeah.
Have both. If you don't, if you only ever stick to one, I have my mid-length. My mid-length 7.6 is, it's the girl you go home to, right? Yeah. So are we going to go down this road again?
I don't know.
Should we start digging?
I can just see your lovely wife looking at us through the window right now.
She's probably doing the laundry as you speak.
Digging a hole for yourself here, William.
She's the girl you come home to. Ultra reliable. She has fucked no one behind your back. She's not messaging other guys on Tinder. Like, it's clean, it's pure. She'll raise the kids and she'll be there. And maybe she'll talk about swinging too. Like it's in the conversation, basically. Then you got your mistress, and
you might have.
She'll take you into some strange places around the anus.
Oh my god!
You'll be at sex parties.
Oh dear.
Strap on. I mean, she'll whip that out, and you'll be like, "Whoa, where are we going now?" So, and there's a lot of excitement.
I'm glad this is not telling. I've got my head in my hands right now.
This is rated PG, apparently. But there'd be a lot of excitement, and it'll take you into some crazy places. So I think having both, I think, you know, having a wife, having a mistress at the same time, it's nice. It works.
Is that your analogy for surfboards?
So now we're going back to surfboards because I was going down a whole tangent. I wasn't even talking about
Do you need a therapy?
Should we start talking about mindful, my love life?
The mindful marriage. We're recording right now, Will.
Oh, are we? Oh, shit, I forgot. Oh, honey, by the way. Yeah. No, my wife's heard it all. Jesus, seriously. But it's this thing where that surfboard, the Machado Seaside, gets talked about online as being a really easy board to surf. It's so user-friendly. No. You've got to know how to surf that board well. Yeah, you can shoulder surf it if you want and just sort of roughly cruise down the line. Okay, that's fine. But if you really want to get hard and tight into the pocket figure of eight and get the fins off the top and do big floats and get some real good top, some high performance in it. It's a really tricky board to get right at times. It's like it just throws you off. If you get yourself into the wrong part of the board, you can feel awfully kooky. Whereas on my mid-length, I could stand anywhere.
Yeah.
And I just sort of bring it around.
Yeah.
It's fine. You can relate to this?
I can relate to the board bit that you're talking about. Everything else is in your swear box.
Listen, if we were in France, it'd be the norm.
Well, I read an article about this that said something along the lines of, this is a digression, something to do with French politicians not being able to be trapped so easily in honey traps because their wives just assumed that they were doing that anyway. So they were less like they were harder to blackmail.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I digress. So me too. Yeah, the Mick Fanning that I've long waxed lyrical about has become a bit of a lazy board for me, which is great. I enjoy it. It works really well in the slop that we surf. You can surf it in big surf. You can surf it in tiny surf. It's great. And I was looking because of your new Firewire passion at these kind of Firewire and look and thinking, oh yeah, because I really like this kind of seaside vibe. Some of it is very similar to some of the Gulfstream boards I had at the beginning, you know, like really
speed
old
dialer.
Speed dialer. They're very similar.
Very
sort of
similar.
Thing.
Yep.
And so I kind of like, oh, I could go back to that. I really like that shape. I like that kind of, but as we know, I've got this Luke Short Twinny that's the battered that you had before. And I was like, oh, just give this a go. Again, we were talking about like conditions and waves and, trying the board again. It's been gathering dust in my boardroom. So got it out the other day and it absolutely lit up. It was great. And here's the thing, because I've been surfing this foamy for a while, as soon as I'm back on this, in inverted commas, more of a performance board, certainly one that's designed to do different and better things in the surf, it felt incredible. It was amazing. Like taking the weight vest off. So cutbacks happen, just happen. No, the board is kind of really goes with you because the rails are great. The tail's really performancey, but good for our brake and the grovelly bit. It's got a very flat, beaky nose, so it gets in. And it's 6'2", so it's longer and it's kind of... So
it's your mid-length, I think.
It kind of works a little bit as a mid-length.
Mini mid-length.
Yeah.
Yep.
And don't tell Machado that. That'll be another one that he's got in his quiver, the mini mid-length. Long, mid-length, short.
It's actually a great name for a board.
The mini mid-length.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shh. And, don't say.
And then he... So I've been on that and it's been brilliant. And it's surfing punchier waves. It's surfing small waves. And so I've now decided, and this is where you kind of go, right, okay, just for a bit, wherever I go and whatever I do, I'm taking that board out. I'm not going to go back to the comfort board. I'm just going to... So even yesterday, I looked and thought, beginning, should I go? Should I take the foamy? I thought, no, this is it. I'm going to be on this now with the twin in and I'm going to see what it can do. And then there's no kind of, should I do that? Should I do this? You'd like, that's my board. Boom, I'm in. And actually going back to Rory, that's kind of what he does, right? He just has one board.
Relentlessly surfs one board.
And then he gets proficient on that, whatever the conditions.
A lot of wisdom in that.
Yeah.
If you're bridging on beginner to intermediate getting a bit more towards advanced, it can mess with your head switching things up too often.
Yes.
But as you go further up and you get more and more years of experience, I think that having your go-to confidence board and having your go-to mistress board is a good setup. And you can go back and forth. I'll be honest, I have times when I go out on the seaside and I wonder how the hell I'm going to surf because it challenges me, that board. You get into the wave a few seconds, it feels like, at least later than my mid-length, which makes sense. The whole point of mid-lengths is they take away the drop. You're in. You slide in and then you stand up. Machado Seaside has really challenged me because my takeoff is my worst thing. My rail game's pretty strong, but my takeoff's... Whew. So when I'm on my seaside, I get in as the wave breaks. I find that really hard. I sometimes get a chip shot, they call it. You know, the chip, the bump and run. Like, I get that little really beautiful early entry, which we all want. I mean, which surfer doesn't want that, where you just start cruising before the waves even got going. And that's a joy. And when I do get those on the seaside, I surf my best on the board because it's just, God, at that point, that you get your feet in the right place and here we go. But yeah, it's switching between those two types of boards. But Liam, I'm so pleased you got that board to work. And it can be just that little change in fins or that little change in board that can, bang, suddenly spark your surfing again. So... And it does not need to be expensive. In the world we're in at the moment, you can find budget ways of doing this around the secondhand market.
Yeah.
Swapping boards, you know, asking mates to borrow boards, mixing things up, fins, all that. But I think with all of us listening to this and kind of wanting to kind of see how we can advance things, it's just notice if you feel and sense that little plateau and just ask yourself, is there something with my training, with my diet, with my board choices, with where I surf, how often I surf, or how little I surf, whatever. Is there something you could do just to poof, give it a... Choo? I had that seaside that was my dear friend Ryan's. And Ryan, if you're listening to this, thank you so much for that. I had that in and out of my garage pretty much a year. Just sat there. Not even been ridden. It's crazy. And then bang, I just went one day, I went, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Whoa.
They're the best.
Addiction.
That's great. It's
love
really
that.
Good. And I think it's true, isn't it? And it's also like, what does it do? I can't say this often enough and probably do so every show. What's it do relative to your surfing the week before? How am I better than yesterday to Nick Adam Peaty's thing? It's like, does this enhance somewhere? Is there a gain in surfing this? Not immediate, could be over time, but am I just kind of making progression against what my view of progression is in order to have a better time? Like, how do I feel... You know, I came out, weirdly, that junkie surf, I came out feeling pretty good as well because it was funny. And we did embrace it with you got to have these experiences. The day after, we went in, I went into Main Beach on a higher tide and surfed some of the shore break. And it was pumping and I loved it. But had I not had that junkie surf, I would definitely not have appreciated the better surf, and I would possibly have not been on the board that's given me more joy. So,
100%.
It's all about that, isn't it? These little marginal gains that make you, well, just make you enjoy your surfing more, because that's all it's there to be done. It's not there to kind of add another layer of like
trauma to your life, is it? It's supposed to be
so true.
It's a good. We're having. We're all. If you're in, I say this so loads. If you're dressed head to toe in rubber and you're swimming around in the sea, whatever it is you're doing, and even if you're on a stand-up paddleboard,
if you're there to have a good time, that's all it's about.
Yeah, I completely agree. Amen to that. Round the houses, mate. That was the whopping intro.
Roundhouse cutbacks.
That was a roundhouse cutback of an intro.
Yeah,
epic. We should start calling it that. The intro is called the roundhouse. You get up out on the shoulder. You come down, not just across. Yep. That's often the mistake. Take the rail down, then wait, and don't push too hard. That's what I did for years. Frontside roundhouse cutback, I used to try and turn too hard, but without letting the wave and the board do the work. Just let it come down, keep looking, and whoom, and then rebound. Such a hard turn to get right, because it's all about timing.
Yeah.
Roundhouse. Second number two, bit of mindfulness. Let's take a breath in through the nose. And then breathe out slowly. Take another breath in through the nose. And breathe out slowly. And another breath in through the nose. Really notice the air going in. Breathe out slowly. And then last one, take a breath in through your nose. Really notice that air going in. And breathe out nice and slowly. Great job, guys. Segment number three, mind, body, stoke. Things Liam and I have been working on with the mind and body to raise the stoke. I started off that swell run at a spot nearby last week, at the beginning of last week, and had an okay surf. Then the next day, not an okay surf, that's a lie. I had a really good surf. It was pretty cool. I give it an 8 out of 10 on joy. Next day, I got to the beach. Again, it was looking really good. And something in me just said, just take a bit of time just to watch it while stretching and doing some activation exercises. Cool. I normally do a couple anyway. I just thought I'd spend a bit longer doing some. Get really loosened up. Do some core. Do some more glutes. Do some side lunges. Loosen up again. Do another deep squat. Breathe in, breathe out. Really set the rhythm, set the scene for it. And then I ended up having the most incredible surf because of what I'd done before it, I think. It's such a challenge that when we're trying to nip in, nip out, or that we're super excited and we can't contain it, or we got to get in because the tide's about to run out, or we got to get in, get out because we got to get back to the kids and work and I don't know, whatever. There are so many occasions in life where we can't be on the yoga surf retreat, you know, what a dream that would be, you know, you're up in the morning, 1 hour yoga, then go surfing. God, just what a start to your day with the sunrise, you're in your board shorts. I mean, yeah, you're gonna surf pretty well. Because what we realize about our performance in life, in anything that we do, is preparation is key. Mm. But we can't always control the preparation. But if you can, and you're looking at a surf and you're going, right, well, I've got an hour and a half window here, the tide's not going to move much. Would it be worth putting in an extra 10 minutes more than normal of activation drills and extra stretches and loosening exercises and get the synovial fluid, which is what it is, into the joints so that when you finally stand up on your board, you don't feel like an old man? Would it be worth it? Yeah, well, fucking course it would be. Because what we're after here is not quantity. If you get 10 great waves, is that going to be more joyous and more uplifting versus 15 average waves?
Yeah.
Who could argue with that?
Well,
I mean, maybe someone could. I don't know.
It is those little short. I was almost forced into short surfs because we had this weird tide last week before last where we had this neap tide. It wasn't moving very much, so it's high, and high, low, and it really kind of the window was tiny, and I misread it a couple of times. So I got down to the beach, quite punchy shore break, had two waves before it was just like, oh, it's pretty sketchy for me, and then got out and
I actually felt really euphoric for it because it was like a quick blast, some real adrenaline, like a couple of real adrenaline vibe rides relative to me, and it I wasn't depleted, so I'd still had enough in the tank to then go and start work. And it was an early surf, and I don't really like that super early surfs anymore. So I was like, that feels good. And then I did another one the next day. And I was like, oh, this little micro snacking, like a bit like we talk about exercise snacking, surf snacking, where if you can get in half an hour, get out.
If I was designing a perfect surf day, up early with the sunrise,
yeah,
obviously warm, board shorts, Costa Rica somewhere, I don't know. I'd up really early. Mm. You start the meditation, the yoga, the breath work, and the hydration with sea salt in the water and high quality mineral water, and just get the repeat the minerals, get the breath work, loads of mobility activation drills, go surf. Not for that long. Only about 40 minutes, yeah. 30, 40 minutes. Get out, some carbs, some protein, just nothing major, just small, but high quality. Full rest, chill, do some other sports, maybe do some ping pong for a bit and so on. And keep doing that throughout the day. There would be surfs in there that would just be the best ever. Like, you know, no major fatigue, always limbering back up, always refueling, rehydrating. Surfers do surf for too long often. For their performance.
And the expectation of that, I'm going surfing. Yep. Here's the thing, talking back to when you said, oh, you know, you've had these, in the summer, three sessions a day.
Yep.
Some of the best sessions are when you're on the beach with a family.
Yep.
You've got a foamy on the beach. And you go, I'm just going to go and have 20 minutes,
correct.
30 minutes. And
there's no expectation.
They are the waves that live in memory.
They are, and you're full of sunshine on the joints.
Yeah.
You've had loads of movement in the day.
Yeah.
You've had fuel.
Yeah.
You're hydrated.
Yeah.
My best surfs are always at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
My best ever surfs are setting sun 5 p.m.
Yeah.
You're limber.
Yeah.
You're ready. You're on it. Everything. So why have we got to be so kind to ourselves? You ever have a morning surf? Cold, a bit stiff. You've surfed the day before. Maybe you've had a long drive the night before or whatever. Time of day for surf is I think, pretty huge. The brain's not woken up either till about 4, I'd say, 3 with the body. So, man, I get that. And it's those spontaneous bits too. Like, again, add the mind element to that too, which is that you've not loaded up loads of expectation. You're already there. You were you're going to go in, maybe you weren't. Yeah. It was sort of all very just, why not jump it? Like, you know what I mean?
Surf spontaneity is the joy.
It's epic.
It's a luxury.
It's so nice. Yeah. So long may that continue. But anything, mind and body, come on. Is there anything you've been working on?
Well, I think mind is a continual about, so just even going back to bad surf, not even giving it a second look back. You know, so, you know, this kind of idea that you're impervious to the highs and the lows, that if it's shit, as in your performance, just so what? Just put it to bed, snip the cord, boom, it's done. Go again the next day. That is a real big mind hack of like, I'm not even going to sit dwelling on, it's hard. But it's the more I do that, the more joy I get from the surfing. And then the other body is, again, because I'm still working these legs rather than upper body because of this injury. And it's really helping my surfing, backside particularly. The only niggle now, because I'm doing more backside surfing and slightly better than I was for me before, is that it tweaks my knee. So I've got to start strengthening, make sure my ankle and knee joints are strong enough to take that improvement as the legs get stronger and the surfing gets better. So each little mind body improvement opens another thing where you go, I've still got to keep going. I've got to do something else now. So it's really good fun that I've got to this bit where I'm getting better at that bit. Mm. But now I've got to now work on this so that it doesn't set me back any further. So that's what I've been doing really. And sort of being really clean with a bit more supplementation. So creatine, magnesium. It was really important for me as I get a bit older. And then I'm also having this, which again works for some people. I know you don't, bananas for you, not great. But like raw cacao powder, which is full of like copper and zinc and magnesium, with one banana mixed into sort of a mousse as a pre-surfer, is just like
delicious,
amazing. It's so
amazing,
rich and bitter. Like if I give it to the kids, like that's disgusting.
Yeah,
it's too bitter for them. But I love that stuff. Well, it gives me a real boost.
It's got the flavonoids. The cacao powder's got such rich antioxidant content as well. So it helps mitigate a lot of the impact of surfing. There's loads of benefits. Yeah. That's really cool. With clients, I'm, you know, particularly surf clients, always trying to improve ankle,
yeah,
knee, hamstring, hip, adductor mobility, because as you get better at surfing, you start to notice your mobility limitations.
Yeah.
And couple that with strength. But yeah, major mobility thing. And look at a guy like Jerry Lopez.
Yeah.
He's still surfing well, not just surfing, surfing well and enjoying it.
Yeah.
In his 70s.
I know.
He does a lot of yoga.
It's the
so
way
I
forward.
Do every morning 20 minutes minimum, 25. And as I get older, I'm realizing that maybe an extra one again each day I need to do as well. And my yoga program is like mental simple. It's just deep squat.
Yeah.
That the Indian squat is called. And just hang out down there and move and twist my hips and knees either side and so on. Plus hanging. Plus maybe a couple of other little moves. But
hangs for me are game changing.
Huge.
For lower back. Most old guys have got a lower back issue.
I think probably the most important surfing exercise.
And your lat stretch.
Just a dead hang.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Just alleviates all that tension that builds up from surfing.
Yeah.
But no, Liam, I'm so pleased, mate. That's really good that you've been working on that. And you do, you sort of, as you get better at surfing, you your body goes, hang on, why are we doing that like that now? Yeah. Not used to that.
It's like, what, my
good place to be.
My knee, my trailing foot, my right
yeah,
knee.
Yeah, because you bend that foot in. Yes.
And kicking and pushing and yeah. all that. Like, oh, that's got to be. I've got to make sure that's working properly.
Is it? That's cool, man. Mm. Listen, last segment number four, Surf Media. Just want to mention Ben Gravy because obviously he's listening. He's one of our avid listeners alongside Kelly,
yeah.
Rob. Matt Biolas.
Biolas doesn't tune in anymore.
He just tuned out.
He sent a letter to say.
But one of our four listeners. And
Chris Hemsworth's a big fan as well.
Chris Hemsworth, fifth listener. And
people think we're joking.
I know. No, we're not. And Ben, if you're listening, I really hope that you heal well.
Yes.
No, none of us want to get injured. It sucks. You're out of the game. He is a guy who not only loves his surfing, but he has access to it.
Yeah.
I think maybe in some ways it could be easier to accept if you lived in the city getting injured because you're like, well, I'm away from the coast anyway. I don't get to see it. He's immersed in it.
He's such a mindful dude though that he'll get better really quickly.
For sure.
You know,
what a freak accident.
Yeah, it looks bad.
God, and you could get hurt so many ways in the barrel other than like slightly tweaking your arm to one side. Then, you know, it's just...
So always the sort of little incongruous things that do the damage.
Strange. But I really hope he heals well because we all just want to be out there.
And he's brought a lot of stoke to a lot of people. So we want him back in the water soon.
Yeah, he's given out such good karma that it'll just come back in kind. But when you have to go through a healing journey, it takes a lot of mental resilience. But it's about getting those little wins. If you're on a recovery path at the moment yourself, just do your absolute best to keep trying to advance your stuff by doing new things. You just advancing little things, little changes, little tweaks, little bits of diet, bits of training, bits of stretching, bits of, if we stagnate and keep everything the same, we can't expect new gains.
Yeah.
So if you stay on that positive training, you'll get those results. But anything Surf Media, is there any?
Do you know what I've been trying to do? And there's some content out there that's good and some that's not so good. I've been trying in my sort of lazy moments, so post-surf where I want to like watch Ben, obviously we watch quite a lot of, I've watched some of the WSL stuff, but I'm looking at UK-based surf stuff as well. So there's like the Wild Guy Leverton, I think he's called, who's always in Cornwall showing like beaches and that sort of thing. And then there's a few other guys that are doing more content with UK-based surfing. So and some of them, I think there's this like, not that I watch this all the time, this Fisherman channel where they were showing some of the storm waves at one of the harbour walls.
Portreath.
It is Portreath, because it does say it on there. But it looked wild. So it's nice to kind of go, okay, it's great. I can watch the guys at Trestles, but let's kind of watch some local stuff. And then there's another dude called Matt Hammond, I think it is. He surfs a lot around the world and he's done some local stuff recently. I was just trying to make sure I get his name right, but he's got his own YouTube channel on there that takes in a lot of like spots around the world. Pretty cool dude. So I've been checking him out as well quite a bit. He's pretty decent and nice to see some UK waves.
Yeah,
that's so nice. That's been me. And then finally, actually, I forgot. I meant to mention this first. Tom Carroll in Ireland with... Tom Curran.
Curran.
Just kind of brought Tom Carroll out. with Garage McDade, and it's brilliant. It's really good. They're surfing wicked. Some big, heavy waves.
Tom Curran, one of the best of all time, makes it look easy, and it's not. Yeah. It's the hardest sport in the world.
Yeah, exactly right. And he's not a young guy.
He's not at all.
And him and his son go out.
Takes very good care of himself.
The local crews out there, it looks so good.
You can see in someone like Tom Curran, he's like Kelly, he's one of these kind of guys who just take very good care of themselves. Yeah. They do a lot of unseen work.
So I would watch that, although they do get stuck into the Guinness quite heavily, which is, you know, if you're when in Ireland,
get into the black.
Tom Curran.
Ace, check it out. Sounds good.
Nice one.
Guys, thanks for having us.
Always a pleasure.
See you soon.
See you. Bye.